Coming up on KUCB News, jury selection for the trial of a teen accused of threatening another Unalaska teen has begun. Stay tuned. Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205. Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM in Unalaska. I'm Lauren Adams, filling in with the news this week. Both of our reporters are out on assignment. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. The trial of a teen who allegedly used a handgun to threaten another teen in Unalaska last July is underway. The incident was first reported to adults in August, following Rachel's Challenge, a program created after the Columbine school shooting to reduce violence and encourage compassion and communication in schools. While many of the details have been confidential under Alaska law, the judge has granted a motion opening the juvenile delinquency trial to the public. At this time, KUCB is not naming the defendant because he is a minor. Jury selection began yesterday at Unalaska's courthouse, and opening statements are expected to begin as soon as today. The defendant faces one charge of assault 3, which is a Class C felony. He is accused of, quote, recklessly placing another person in fear of imminent serious physical injury by means of a dangerous instrument, end quote. Court officials estimate the trial could last all week. The state filed charges in September against a second teenager allegedly involved in the incident, but his case has been resolved. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight with a packed agenda. At their regular session, councilors are expected to discuss providing monetary support for aerial salmon surveys, as well as hear presentations from the Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association on a cod allocation request to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. And in an executive session, they're expected to discuss Local 302 union negotiations for collective bargaining agreements for employees of City Hall, Parks, Culture and Recreation, Department of Public Works, and the Department of Public Utilities. City Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. You can also listen here at 89.7 FM. A potential challenger has emerged to run against Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan next year. Dr. Alan Gross, a 57-year-old orthopedic surgeon, is announcing his possible interest in running as an independent this week.
I don't think that Dan Sullivan's representing the people of Alaska, and I don't think he's addressing the issues that are important to the state, the economy. He's most of all not standing up to fix our broken healthcare system, but on many other levels, I feel like he's not being representative of the state, and he's not helping fix the problem which is biggest in the state, which is our economy, which has been in recession for years and years, and we need to break out of that.
Gross is the son of the late Avram Gross, Alaska's Attorney General under Governor Jay Hammond in the 1970s. He was born and raised in Juneau. He's also lived in Petersburg and now Anchorage. Gross plans to make a formal announcement of launching an exploratory committee today in Petersburg. After that, he'll tour the state. Incumbent Republican Dan Sullivan was elected in 2014, defeating Democratic Senator Mark Begich. Sullivan's office did not respond on Monday to a request for comment. Alaska's lawmakers say that they're getting tough on crime with a new bill to lengthen prison sentences. It would reverse many of the pieces of Senate Bill 91, the 2016 legislation that many Alaskans blame for a spike in crime. But the new bill comes with a big price tag, and as Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, not everyone agrees that it will work.
Doug Elkins has a certain degree of expertise with the criminal justice system.
I started when I was 12 years old, and I'm 63, so I've been in and out of prison since the 70s.
Elkins is talking from the offices of Partners for Progress, an organization that helps ex-prisoners with what's called re-entry into society. Elkins says his most recent sentence ended just last month. He says he's working on getting clean and went to a drug treatment program in prison, but what he says was a 20-month sentence didn't solve his problems.
For 20 months, I sat in jail not wanting to do nothing but get high. And then once I got out, that's exactly what I did. I went and got high. Going to jail, all that's going to do is remove you from the situation for a minute.
A 20-month prison term costs Alaska $100,000, according to state estimates. Cutting down on imprisonment for nonviolent criminals was policymakers' goal when in 2016 they passed Senate Bill 91, a major restructuring of Alaska's criminal justice laws. The idea, supported by both in-state and out-of-state research, was that longer prison sentences aren't shown to keep prisoners from committing more crimes once they get out. So SB 91 reduced sentences for nonviolent crimes and budgeted some of the savings to boost drug treatment and programs to help people transition from prison back to regular life. Almost immediately, the changes faced a backlash.
To the criminals and to the rapists and molesters who see our children as nothing more than opportunities, I say this to you. We will do everything in our power to stop you, apprehend you, and put you in prison for a very long time.
That was Governor Mike Dunleavy at his State of the State speech earlier this year, where he pledged to repeal and replace SB 91. Critics of the law like Dunleavy have tied it to a spike in crime in Alaska. It's true that both violent and nonviolent crime has been rising sharply in recent years. But that trend started before SB 91 took effect, and there's no research that definitively links the two. Supporters of the repeal cite research that's shown higher incarceration rates to have some effect on reducing crime rates. John Novak is the Anchorage District Attorney, and he rejects the idea that SB 91 just coincided with a crime wave driven by other factors. He says he and his colleagues in law enforcement feel like SB 91 deprived them of the tools they need to make Alaska safe.
We're all frustrated. We're in this business to try to make our community safer, and it's a very uncomfortable discussion when we interact with our neighbors and our friends and our community members, and they look at us like, what are you doing? I don't know how many more murders and auto thefts and whatnot we need to show that it doesn't work.
Many elements of SB 91 have already been repealed. Now, near the end of the legislative session, lawmakers are debating a bill to reverse even more of them, including by lengthening prison terms. One provision makes second-time drug possession a felony. Altogether, it could cost the state tens of millions of dollars a year and force the reopening of a shuttered prison in Palmer. Kathleen McLaughlin, who runs the Anchorage Reentry Center, says she's worried about lawmakers throwing out parts of SB 91 that she thinks have been working, like boosting support for programs outside of prison, like hers. She says the big failure of the legislation was not in reducing sentences, but in not doing even more to address mental health problems or drug addiction.
We have to acknowledge that we have not lived up to that promise of SB 91. We refer people all the time to get assessments and treatment. They're never timely.
McLaughlin says some of her center's clients have severe mental health problems. And until they're stabilized, she says it's likely they'll go on to commit more crimes, tougher sentences or not. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And that wraps up today's news from Unalaska. I'm Lauren Adams. I am filling in for our two news reporters, Zoe Sobel and Laura Crago. They are both out of the office on news assignment today. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM, and you can always find us online at kucb.org. Stay tuned for local and marine weather forecasts, but first I'll take a quick look at the community calendar. Tonight, there's a city council meeting. Tomorrow night, KUCB board did reschedule our board meeting. That will now take place next Wednesday, the 22nd. Public is welcome and encouraged to attend. There are two cruise ships coming to town on Thursday and Friday. UCSD's high school graduation takes place this Saturday. And there's a memorial service for Carly McDonald and Kiara Haste on this Thursday, the 16th at 7 p.m. You can find all of our events online at kucb.org. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.